This is our fourth week in a row with John 6. And at this point, I wanted to offer a few thoughts in a little different way. But one is to show, have you noticed kind of the repetition of the readings? There's always been a connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Literally 4 weeks in a row, we've had an Old Testament with this bread and her water and her wine. And then Jesus talking about the bread. We've also heard of several weeks in a row about quarreling and murmuring of the crowd. And the fact that Jesus is focusing on not something that linear, but is really a spiral conversation. So it has been repetitive, but it's also going deeper at the same time. What I wanted to start this morning is how important repetition is. You know, I just read in the paper one of the athletes, basketball players, that her coach said, "My goal for you is to shoot 10,000 shots this summer." And of course, as a great athlete, going all out says, "Well, I'll triple that. I'll try 30,000 shots." Or if we know of Jesse, our wonderful, beautiful pianist, think of the repetition that she's had in her life. You know, Jesse didn't just come here today and say, well, she can actually now. She could just show up now and play. But that was because in her whole life of the repetition of the keys, of the chords. And that's unbelievable. I'd say the same with Nita and singing. And well, they didn't just come up this morning and make something up. They had repetition. And that's what's going on in our readings. And that's why we have not just our fourth weekend, but fifth next weekend. The repetition to remember one of the most linchpin of our Catholicism being the Eucharist. Now, my brother and his wife were going through Facebook talking about verses in John 6. It was kind of a game of tennis, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And one thing, because some people really memorize the Bible, and Michael was talking about how important it is for us with the belief in Eucharist, and I think I'd share one for Michael to introduce in his conversation as well as ours when we talk about the flesh and blood of Jesus. They may seem odd because my brother and his wife were said, "Well, aren't you guys cannibals?" And that's a valid question. But I would respond and say, "Well, is a baby a cannibal when they're receiving the milk from their mother?" Remember, every one of us grew up with milk from our mother or a bottle. Or let's think about blood. How of you have offered your blood to kind of the bus that comes into town, to offer our blood to go to somebody else that needs blood? Or I know parishioners, at least one or two, that gave part of their organ to give to the loved one because they needed it. And so while it sounds odd to think of our world thoughts of, well, okay, and that's what they were murmuring about today, was we can't eat your flesh. Wait a second. I mean, we do that, right? But Jesus is also showing the depths of what he's calling. "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him on the last day." And no, we are not cannibals. We're not vampires. Here's another little pivot to read and listen from Luke. After Jesus died and rose from the dead, one of his disciples, Cleopas, and his friend walked away from Jerusalem because they were scared and confused. What happened to our Savior? What do we do? And boom, Jesus showed up. But they can't see him. They can't tell it's Jesus. They listen to him. I mean, if you want to read it, read Luke 24. Jesus taught them about all of the salvation history, the prophets, the Son of God, the fact that he will be killed, and he will rise again. And then he kept walking forward. And now listen to what these two disciples said to him. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared, Jesus, to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now forspent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished out of their sight. They recognized him. He was in a different place, a different dimension. Vanished. But he was actually still there. The bread. That was the Eucharist. So when we think about Jesus' body and blood, no science can prove that. No test. But if we believe in God, and if we believe in faith, well, it might look and taste and smell just like bread itself or wine itself, which is actually true, that the substance, if I use a philosophical word, the accidents, meaning the bread and the wine as normal, the accidents are the same, but the substance, what it is changed into Jesus' body and blood. Which is why we have a tabernacle, why we have consecration, why we say the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, and why you say amen. So continue to praise God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to offer us the love, the nourishment, and the strength to follow our Savior and to receive his true reality of his body and blood.